We are?
Yes.
We're in business. Okay. Well, I want to welcome everybody to our very first Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting for 2021. This is where the cool kids will hang out this year in committee. So we should probably do introductions because if we were in a conference room, that is what we would do. So why don't we go ahead and Hari, we'll start with you, and then, you know, I just see a whole bunch of tiles, so I'm not even really sure who's all here. So we'll start with you.
Okay. Thank you, Committee Chair. My name is Hari Pundakanti, Interim Public Works Director. Thank you.
Hi, Gail Labanora, Public Works Analyst.
I'm, like, looking around.
Ryan Larson, Stormwater Engineer.
This is Allison Turner, Sustainable Transportation Program Manager, and we're hearing an echo, so I'm wondering if someone can turn their mic off.
Hi, this is Chris Andre, also on the TDM team. Got a little rider here, riding along.
Great.
This is Adib. I'm with Public Works Project Utilities Engineer.
Okay, go to council members.
Council member Deshaun Quinn.
Council member Tom McLeod.
Hey. I think that's everybody. If not, when we go through the agenda, you can just introduce yourself if we didn't catch you on that side. So we'll just dive right into it because we have a pretty packed agenda for the first meeting of the year. So the first item on the agenda is the Water Fund, the McAdam Road South Water Upgrade. So who's going to take this one?
I will.
Yeah, before you start, let me just give a little introduction. So, committee, this project has been in design, and it's almost at 90% design, and we went through, after some of the design, we had difficulty figuring out funding for the sidewalk and also whether or not we need extra right-of-way, so the project was put on hold. And recently, we have some newer creative ideas, and Adib will present why we're putting this project forward now and what those ideas are. Adib?
Yes, thank you, Hari. Hari summed it up perfectly. We started this design in around 2015, and it had a lot of delays and slowdowns, and I think the vacancy that came around as well slowed it down and didn't help moving it forward. So we've talked to Pace and gotten their cost, and they're okay with finishing the design. They're the original consultant on the previous design, and we want them to finish it and bring it out to add so we can advertise it for a contractor. The McAdam Road doesn't have a looped water main in that area. So we're looking to connect two parts of isolated water mains and loop them for fire protection, for better flow. And there's also, as Hari mentioned, the sidewalk issue, at least on one side of the street, so we can have safer routes for pedestrians. All of that is, we're looking at $77,339.16 of design money to bring that to 100% design by Pace and be able to advertise it. We've had this project in the previous iteration of the capital improvement program plan, and we moved it on to this one, and we've increased the budget a little bit to make sure we can get this done. We're asking council to authorize it to have the mayor execute this consultant agreement and put in a consent agenda. I'm open to any questions you may have or clarifications.
Great. Thank you. Okay, I'll start with questions from the council members. Council Member Quinn, do you have any questions, concerns?
No, well, only question I have, I mean, since this has been on the books for some time and Pace was the original, and I kind of think this is kind of a due diligence question that maybe would have begun at the beginning. Or sorry, that's a double whatever. But it's a question I would ask around kind of any risks associated. We should all be asking this with Flint. And was that covered previously? And is this factored in? And then my second question is, it sounds like, again, this was on the, we have plenty of budget for it. And I thought I heard whether it's a more favorable bidding environment or because things are lining up. I'm just wondering what, kind of what was the final motivating piece to move this forward.
So, council member, let me answer the second part of your question, and then Adib will answer the due diligence part. The second part of your question was, what is the motivating factor to move this in right now? The factors are, we now have Adib, who is a utilities engineer, and he's putting a lot of projects out. That's number one. Two, it's also a good bidding environment. And the third is we walked out there, the project with Pace Engineer, and we decided that we will concentrate on sidewalks just on one side. Because in the past, we wanted to see if we can get sidewalks on both sides, which included right-of-way condemnation and other stuff, which delayed the project. But what we decided is it's in our best interest to get sidewalks on one side. At least that way you have safe connection for all the people that are living in the apartments to go to the schools and other stuff. So once we decided these things, it really clarified a lot of things for us. That's why we put the project forward. Adib, you want to talk about the due diligence part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Without diving into too much detail, we're not changing the water source. We're not changing any pH or treatment issues with the water, so we shouldn't see anything. That's what happened with Flint. They essentially had different pH. So we're just extending the existing water main and connecting into another existing water main that both of them have the exact same water source.
Great. Sean, did you have any other questions? Okay, thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
I think two questions. One, you're 2021 design budget is 200, and so you're going to use 77,000 now. That leaves 122,000. What is left to design in 2021? Is this our best use of our money?
Assuming nothing goes wrong and we don't need to put a little bit more money into sidewalk design or anything like that, this should be all we need to design for this project moving forward. And we can move some of that money to construction management, maybe.
Okay. Can you, Deshaun, thanks for asking your question. I had that one written down also. Can you clarify for me, so if I go to the bottom of 144th, that's where this project starts and goes south, is that right?
Correct.
Towards the freeway, towards the Beringen Freeway?
Correct.
Okay. And how, well, 4,300 lineal feet, how far does that go? You just used the phrase, Hari, want to have the sidewalks for people in apartments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't connect that statement with going south from 144th.
So it will go all the way to where we did the 52nd project there. So it will go to that road there.
For the 52nd project.
The 52nd okay. Street construction we just finished last year.
53rd,
yeah, sorry.
So it'll be in front of the McAdam Wetlands garden?
Yeah, near the park.
Oh, McAdam, yeah. That, got it, that part of McAdam. I was thinking the other side of the freeway. Okay, got it.
So you can get some sidewalks for the beavers.
Yeah.
That one's not going to die, you know.
Okay, good. I need a pathway to run from that Winter Garden Park. Okay, then I think I'm good with it. Go ahead, Verna.
Sorry. All righty then. Okay, well, you guys asked my question for me. And then just to clarify, this does come out of the water utility fund, right? Yeah, okay. All right, well, then I don't have any questions, and other than thank you, my council members, fellow council members, for clarifying some things. So is everybody in agreement to move this forward to the February 1st consent agenda? All right.
Yes.
Cool. Moving on to the water I'm sorry, go ahead, Deshaun.
I thought it was a Hari's answer for those three things, just in case it comes up.
Yes.
When it goes on consent, it'd be good to provide that to the chair, just in case.
That would be great. So you guys can do that. Perfect. Okay. So that moves us on now to the water fund, the water reservoir and pump station land purchase update. So who is going to talk about this one?
That is me again.
Okay. Go ahead.
So this is an informative memo for to tell you about the water reservoir that we are looking to design and build for the city. Since 2015, the last water comp plan that we had, they brought up a lot of water storage deficiencies, and that was per DOH standards. And then right now we're working on the current water plan, and they've brought up the exact same water storage deficiencies that we've had. The issue with that is we're not going to have enough water storage in case of a fire or in case of a natural disaster. And this is specifically for the Ryan Hill area. Right now it's a little isolated, so we're looking to bring it in, make it more inclusive as part of the system that we have and provide it with redundancy. So we're looking at, as we said, the Ryan Hill area to build the reservoir there so we can use the natural topography of the area so we can save on pumping in the future, and we're able to use gravity to save the wear and tear on the pumps as well. We're also expanding the fire protection by connecting the system to the previously isolated Ryan Hill area. And the first step before we can do any of that, before we can move forward with the tank construction and design and even pre-design, is to purchase the land. So we're bringing this forward. So we're letting everybody know that's the next step we have. That's the critical path before we can do any of that. And we do have a very quick presentation set of slides that better illustrates in a visual way, which I can share right here.
Technology.
We do have it in front of us if you want to just reference.
Yeah, you can just, because we have it in our packets, if you just kind of want to whirl through it, we can.
Okay, I can do that.
Tell us when to turn the page.
Sorry, Chair, I was just trying to.
Sorry about that.
I've been in that situation before, so.
Yeah, I know. I was in this situation last week at work. Share screen.
Okay, maybe I should be able to share the screen. Yeah, I'll do that. Right.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yay.
Yeah, perfect. So we're a quick overview is we're going to quickly look at the various zones that we have in the city, and to distinguish that we don't, not every part of Tukwila is served by the Tukwila water system, and all of our water that we get is from the Cascade Water Alliance, which is mostly from SDU, and we'll have a quick table about the water deficit from the previous water plan and the current one. So this is a quick map of our narrow, long city of Tukwila, but it shows the water zones in various colors, and the red outline is our service area. And you can see some of the water districts that are not within our service area, but within the city of Tukwila city limits. And those are the pressure zones. The Ryan Hill area is the very bottom line, the highest pressure zone, the 465, and it's currently isolated from the rest of the system, but it is also one of the highest elevation, and we'd like to build the tank there so we can use the elevation, but also be able to connect that pressure zone so it is no longer isolated in the future. As we had mentioned previously, Cascade Water Alliance is where we get all of our water. We have an agreement with them, and they are our source. They also get most of their water from SPU. In the case of any natural disaster, if we lose that source, then we just have the one water tank right now to provide us any water. So it's also a safety and reliability issue to have that second water tank. The previous water tank, the current water tank that we have, is the North Hill Reservoir, and that was built in 1991. It was built over phases. First, it was the reservoir itself, and then the transmission main, I believe, in two phases. Part of it was going under 405, so it's very similar to what we're looking at right now. We most likely have to go there. I-5 to connect it to the rest of the system. And this is a pretty busy set of tables, but essentially it's looking at the 2 million gallon current reservoir that we have, and it's serving the three zones you can see on the right side. And the deficiency was a total of 1.3 million gallons according to the 2015 water comp plan. So that's 6 years ago now. The current water plan that we're working on right now, which we have the new deficiency, it is broken into the 360 zone and the 465, which is the Ryan Hill area zone. And it's combined to almost 2.5 million gallons, 2.45. The previous slide was the two zones. And then this is the two zones combined, and our deficiency is 2.45. That's why we're looking at building a 2.5 million gallon tank to provide us our water storage need through 2040. This is a projected deficiency all the way to 2040. And in order to build the tank, we're looking at areas, different costs, and the feasibility of, is it flat enough? Is it buildable? And how close is it to an existing water system? Are we able to connect it to the existing water system? And then in a next phase or in two phases afterwards, we can use a transmission main to connect it to the rest of the system. So that's our plan in the future. Make sure we have that emergency water storage, and we don't want to hinder the development of residential and commercial properties because we don't have water storage moving forward. So we're looking ahead before it becomes a liability issue for us moving forward. That's all I have, just a quick set of slides. And let me know what I can clarify and what other questions you may have.
Can you also go to the other slides that show the general area that we're interested in?
Yeah, so this is top, I'd say top right of this picture, for example, is that Ryan Hill area. And then quite a few blocks north of it is that whole region that we're looking at. And we've drawn in some transmission main, which would be not the first phase. The first phase is building the tank and connecting it to the existing water main. But the next phase or two phases would be going under I-5 in a variety of ways. We could do that. We could do this blue line is that transmission main we've mentioned, or we could do something like this. We won't really know until we have an exact property in hand and we're able to design specifically to that property. So that brings us back to that first critical path. In order to do any of those designs, we need to have a land purchase and start that design phase.
Great. All right. Thank you. We'll start with Councilmember Quinn.
Oh, can I interrupt? Do you want to talk about the info memo and the fiscal impact just to explain that portion of the info memo?
Absolutely. That's a great point. We're asking for up to $2 million, but that is not the total cost. We're going to use maybe an acre or however much of the land that we need and then sell the rest of it and make back hopefully most of what we bought it for. In this example, maybe we buy something that's up to $2 million and we sell it for $1.5 million and we net that $500,000 of cost, which is what we have budgeted.
Okay, Deshaun.
Don't really have any questions, but one did come up with that explanation. So, based on where it is, looks like it's not really buildable for other things. So would this require a budget amendment, or was this anticipated, Gail, for this up to $2 million cost?
So I can answer the first part of that question, Councilmember. What we're looking is give us authority up to $2 million, but it could be the very first property we find could be $300,000. Then we're within that confirmed $500,000. But what we're asking is give us authority to go look for properties, and once we have the property, we will have an executive session. We'll go through the process with the council. But at this stage, we don't want to hamstring ourselves with the dollar figure. We're asking for up to dollar figure. And Gail, can you explain that in the budget process?
Yeah, if you look on page 25 is our CIP. Sorry, I'm still echoing. So we have $10,050,000 budgeted. So the plan is that if property costs us more than the $500,000, we're going to try to stick to a land purchase that the land that we need, if it's an acre, is going to be $500,000. But the problem is that we may need to buy a house. We may need to buy a little bigger property for easement and such. So that's why we're looking at $2 million. So we're going to have to pay it forward. And then once we build it and we know the exact footprint of the land, then we would sell the remaining land and get that revenue, and it would go back into the coffers.
Deshaun?
I don't have any other questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Council Member McLeod.
Just a couple of questions. So in 2015, when it was identified that we didn't have proper storage requirements, so now here we are in 2021, is there a deadline to get this done by?
Yeah, again, there's really no particular deadline itself. Eventually, we're going to hit against no more development, and we're going to have, in case of an emergency, we will not be able to supply water to one end of the town. So that's the eventuality that we're preparing for. Like in case Cascade Water or SPU connections don't work, and if they take care of their folks first, then we will be stuck with not having enough water.
Okay. And you're asking for the ability to, I guess I didn't quite follow the land purchase map there at the bottom of the info memo. Can you maybe tell me one more time how that works as far as the $2 million and then the future sale of the site? I don't understand that line.
Yeah, so at this point, we're asking for permission to go look for properties in that area, and a property up to $2 million. It could be $200,000, $100,000, or it could be $2 million. Once the property is for sale, those are the properties that we're interested in. We're not interested in properties that are not in sale. So then let's say the property is for sale for $1 million, then we'll bring that into the council's approval process. We'll go through the approval process, and let's say we buy that, and we build the reservoir, and it happens to be half of that, and we subdivide the rest of the lot, and the unbuilt part of the lot could be sold, and money can be recovered and put it back for the construction of the water reservoir.
Will you know before you purchase the land what you anticipate being able to sell of the land based on size and dimensions?
Yeah, we have consultants that are working on the water tank size and stuff. They have a pretty good idea of the footprint and stuff, so they could tell. We know what the lot sizes there vary. That's why we had to come up with up to dollar figure, because as you know, in that part of the town, there's the lot sizes are bigger than regular residential lots.
Okay, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, and I don't have any additional questions. I do remember, I was today trying to figure out where we talked about this, because it might have been a transportation last year. It might have been through one of the budget workshops, but I remember this large price tag attached to a reservoir. So, you know, this wasn't a surprise to me. But so anyway, so this is for information only. So you guys are going to go out, and at some point it'll work its way through the council process as far as purchase of land, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think, is the council okay with that? Or is the committee okay with that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. So that moves us on to another discussion item, which is the 42nd Avenue South Bridge replacement. Page 27 in our packet.
Yeah, I'll start up that. Adib, can you unshare your screen? Thank you.
Oh, there
we go. I'll start up that conversation. So as you guys are aware, that November of last year, council has authorized us to move forward with 42nd Avenue South Bridge. So this is a update of where the project is. Adam, our bridge engineer, will give you an update of where we stand and what the next steps are for it. Adam?
Yes, thank you, Hari, for handing it over. Yes, this is just a really quick explanation of what has progressed since the meeting in September, what we've done and what we're planning to do here in this express timeline. So notice proceed was given to Trantec November 17th, and we had our kickoff meetings with all the sub-consultants and the design team on the 2nd of December. Surveying crews and geotechnical or soil samples have been taken on location for the described or scoped areas to provide that information for. Chanchek has gotten the reports back from both of these investigations, I'd say, and they're processing that data for the design process. We are also, parallel with that, we are working on the community engagement, which is kind of a long lead time item, getting all the stakeholders in the Allentown neighborhood and the project area, as well as the community residents in that area, together to discuss the project coming forward and their insights and issues and just kind of compiling all that. So right now, that's what's attached to this info memo, is just the kind of angle of attack of what we are proposing to do to engage the community, to engage the stakeholders on the replacement of this project, as we are in the very initial design of this bridge. We are working with Trantec to put together the application for the local bridge program, formerly known as BRAC, which was the last time the city applied, was in 2019. We are applying again this year with the due date for that being February 19th. So we are working closely with Trantec, as we did in the past, to facilitate the application process and provide a product for that application, as we are trying to move things forward to be able to present in that application of the steps we've taken to move forward with this project and show the city's commitment and want to replacing this bridge. So the next step is, as I was talking with our lead design, is that they are getting all the information together. They're getting a constructability review done of all the proposed data to be able to present a TSNL, which is the type, size, and location report. That way we have something to present in our local bridge agency application, as well as part of the protocol, the WashDOT crew will come out and site visit those locations, and we'd like to have as much information we can give to WashDOT when they come visit our project site. I'm very happy with what Trantec has been doing so far. We have every bi-weekly meetings to make sure that they are staying on target, on task, and we're getting pretty close to finding out not only just the design portion of it, but also getting everyone in the Allentown neighborhood involved as well.
Yeah, no, thank you, Adam. I just want to add a couple of other details here. One is I had meetings with the BRAC funding authorities, and so they actually invited me to be on their interview panel to select the local bridge engineer. So they recently hired a new bridge engineer, so they have hired one of their internal candidates, Sonia Lowry is her name, and so she will be taking over. And so like Adam mentioned, she's going to come in to visit our project, hopefully August or so, and we should be able to show the progress here. And we're also expecting some state and federal transportation packages and funding packages to come through. So like Adam said, we're excited to move forward this project in the design. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Ray, do you also want to say we're requesting something from committee, the grant application?
Yeah, we're moving forward with the grant application. It's in the CIP. The timeline is such that the February 19th is the deadline for that. And so we're hoping to get the approval through this. It's simple application process for the BRAC, like what Adam has mentioned.
Okay. So are you asking are you asking us tonight for that, or is that going to be on a future agenda, the grant application for the BRAC funding?
It's up to you, committee chair. We can bring it to the next committee if you would like, or you can say approved here. We could put that in the notes. It's just we're working on the application. It will take us a little bit of time to put it together and give some more details. If you want, we can try bring it next meeting.
Okay. Let's see what the rest of the committee members have to say. So, Councilmember Quinn.
Yeah, I'll be really brief based on the work from last year. And really my question, I mean, I'm fairly comfortable, but my question was, it was a lot of information in there about kind of community outreach, which I appreciated. My thing was, what are we actually telling them? Because there's a potential limitation on what we can do. So if we can answer that question, maybe when it comes back, but that's really, that screamed at me in reviewing the packet.
Yeah. Council member, that's a good question. Initially, for this first meeting, we're just going in asking questions. That discussion, back and forth discussion, we're hoping that will happen in the subsequent public meetings. But we will make sure we'll present the information to the public. They understand the limitations of what is allowed within the grant and the location. The TSNL report is what will guide the public in terms of what we can get with this.
Yeah, and I guess maybe just to emphasize, if everything doesn't go our way, there's a possibility this doesn't get done. And I
right.
think people need to know that. So that would be my main concern. It's setting expectations. I know it's just the initial conversation, but you know, when you have that conversation, people have expectations, so I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thank you.
Great point. Great point. Thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
Is Burlington Northern Santa Fe helping to advocate for this? And are you in any communication with them regarding this?
Yeah, they are invited to the first meeting. They're actually, we're outreach to them. And they're reaching out to their truck drivers and suppliers. So they're part of they're playing a big role in this.
Okay. You really feel then you've got good support from them for the whatever effort we give it, resources we give it, you feel you've got the effort that they'll give?
I think so. Adam, you want to fill in? They've been very supportive and very cooperative.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, yeah, that they've definitely been very supportive with us, as well as the initial Enviro Issues is the subcontractor who's doing this outreach, did initial email just today, this afternoon, and Burlington Northern did respond. They are down in legislation right now in Olympia, and so they are aware of this, and they are definitely working around their schedule and delegation to support us with this bridge outreach and helping us with other granting agency or granting opportunities.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Hari. That's it for me.
All right. I don't have anything else to add. So you'll just keep us surprised as it moves along, which I appreciate that. So that was information only. So now we're moving on to page 35, surface water, south 131st. Drainage improvements and occasionally. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. I did just want to be very clear. I believe your policies ask for direction when we go for a grant. And just want to make sure, can we get, it's in your CIP is when we're going to the grant for the BRAC funding.
Oh, yeah.
If the committee is okay with that, that is the plan going forward. We just want to make sure that we've come back, that we have that, checked off, that we've come back to the committee and we have committee approval to be making this grant application. It would be easier if we could do that now. If the committee needs more time, we can come back to you. But I know you've been all very aware of this project and is part of the adopted CIP as well. So,
yeah, I think we had that discussion through the budget process too regarding the BRAC funding. But Deshaun and Tom, you're okay with that? Okay, cool. There you go.
Thank you.
Go forth. Thanks. All right, so that now moves us on to page 35, which is South 131st. So who's going to take this one?
That'll be me, Ryan Larson. So we're looking for acceptance of a King County Flood Control District grant for the South 131st Place Drainage Improvement Project. So back in May 2020, Council authorized staff to apply for grants through the Flood District. Staff applied for $300,000. We were awarded a grant in the amount of $60,000. According to city policy, staff must obtain permission or approval before we accept grant funds. Staff worked with the district and revised the grant scope so the funds are going to only be used for the design purposes. Mm. The reason we do this is that way we can go back in the future and apply for construction funding if they become available. So it leaves the door open for options. Fiscal impact, there are no matching funds required on this project. However, we do have $250,000 in surface water funds for the design. This additional $60,000 will be in addition to the $250,000 for design purposes. So council has been asked to formally accept the King County Flood District grant in the amount of $60,000 for the South 131st Drainage Improvement Project and consider this item on the consent agenda on the February 1st, 2021 regular meeting. And that's what I got.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Councilmember Quinn.
Straightforward.
Councilmember McLeod.
I say yes to receiving money.
Okay. Well, I think then we're good. I agree as well. This is very straightforward. So I think we're all in agreement to forward this to the February 1st regular meeting consent agenda. All right. So now that moves us on to item E. And this item, I believe, Councilmember Quinn, do you need to recuse yourself from the discussion on this item?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay, great. All right. So then the next is the King County Metro TDM agreement that I'm going to say is Allison Turner. And that is on page 43. So. For me and Tom, you're on.
I got your back, DQ.
All right. So I'm here from the Transportation Demand Management Program, and we're asking for approval to accept pass-through funding from King County Metro. We have previously been awarded pass-through funding from Metro before. This is a two-year contract for $225,000, and there will be no impact to the general fund. That's about it, so let me know if you have questions.
All right, Tom, Mr. McLeod, council member, questions?
Yes. So of the $225,000 we're getting, as I read through this, it looks like it's really used to educate, to inform, to communicate. What will be your just high-level plan to do that with the residents and the businesses of Tukwila?
Yeah, so we currently have a regional mobility grant, so we'll be leveraging that grant with this. And that grant allows us to do outreach in South King County as well as Tukwila. So we have letters of support from our surrounding cities. And so we try to target activity centers, places like South Center Mall, Tech Airport, colleges, and basically we try to build partnerships where we can deliver information through our partners at those places. So it could be we present at a meeting of small businesses trying to help those businesses provide transportation information to their employees, or it can be attending community events along with the Parks Department, things like that. And then we actually have a scope of work that is provided as an appendix in the agreement that goes into more detail. And it also breaks down our anticipated budget. And so another one of the items that we've done in the past that we want to do with this grant is operating a small grant program to install things like bike racks and like little infrastructure improvements like signage, things like that.
Okay. One other question. I see the county had $6.4 million to dole out, and we got $225,000 or 3.5%. Did we get a fair shake on the money? How did they dole that out? Is it based on residency?
I actually am not sure. That's above my...
Okay.
Yeah,
you don't
sorry.
Have to answer that if you don't know. That's okay. Well, I'm all for receiving the grant money. So I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, and I don't have any. This is very straightforward. I think this is great. And it was a good read through the whole thing as far as the outreach. So, Tom, I think you and I are in agreement to move this forward to the February 1st regular consent agenda.
Yes. Great.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Which brings us to our last agenda item, I think, which is the Extenet Systems Asset Sharing Agreement. Why do I feel like I have deja vu? So who's covering this one?
That would be me, committee president, committee chair.
Great. All right. Take it away.
So for the record, Eric Compton, Technology Innovation Services. I'm here to present to you tonight the asset sharing agreement we have with Extenet Systems. You probably have deja vu because we had a similar agreement with Zayo. Just the other month, in order to have digital equity with our providers here in the city, we also wanted to give Extenet the opportunity to partner with us as well. Extenet, as you remember, just also got their franchise agreement with us, which is why they're moving forward with this asset sharing agreement. But they're a partner in developing small cell 5G wireless facilities across the country. And in order to expedite their build out of small cell wireless, they would like to use certain city assets or conduit in exchange for providing access to their infrastructure or fiber, as well as any other mutually beneficial assets that may be exchanged between us. This particular agreement does not specify specific assets at this time. It provides a framework for quick and easy sharing of those assets down the road. There is no financial impact. There is no term for the current contract as it's written. Contract that we're asking you to authorize the mayor to sign has a term length of any subsequent addendums brought to it. The asset sharing agreements are written in what are called, spacing on what the acronym is, but they're AEF addendums, which are in the packet there as well towards the end of this particular legal agreement. So what will happen is when Extenet is ready to move forward with sharing the assets, they'll identify a particular section of a roadway and say, hey, we want to, you know, build out in this section. Do you have conduit available here? And we will say yes. And we will say how much space we have. They will say, we can give you this much access to our fiber. We'll agree on a term at that point and then sign the AEF, the asset exchange form, agreeing to all the terms and move forward from there. So we're asking again for council permission to move this to the consent agenda in February 1 meeting. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thanks, Eric. Councilmember Quinn.
So just really quickly, I mean, obviously, so state the obvious around legal review. That's not a question. Really, my takeaway, and plus this was a good read and it was a reminder, is that really the substance of this all is going to be determined on how we negotiate. And so I am hopeful, but this is consistent with kind of our processes and in particular as it relates to this type of service. So hoping we get a lot out of the deal so we can set the precedent for any future. We get a lot out of the deal.
Yeah, and it is open to negotiation too. They can say, hey, we want access to this street. And if it's a particular, you know, high demand street, we can actually say, you know, well, you're offering this much, we can ask for more. It's certainly open to negotiations, absolutely.
Oh, all right. Council Member McLeod.
I don't have any questions. I did read through it. So I guess I'm wondering, though, because this is above my pay grade as an accountant, will this increase internet access then in the areas where we have these agreements? Is that the end result that will happen?
That's something that the city is working towards as a whole. This particular asset sharing agreement will certainly help that in partnering with telecommunications franchises. The idea is to invite additional competition into the city with different carriers so they can provide, you know, option, kind of you can choose buffet style where I want my internet provider to be over here, I want my TV service over here. If you have options, that obviously drives the prices down. So the more availability we have for competition in the city, the better for our residents. But this particular agreement will help boost 5G small cell in particular, which is seen by a lot of analysts out there as good competition for wireline communications and cable services right now too. T-Mobile is actually marketing their 5G as a direct competitor to cable services like Comcast. They're giving a little small, you know, wireless router that you put in your home, and they're saying access our 5G to replace cable. So to answer your question, yes, competition is definitely a goal we're having, and this will help bring that about.
Okay, Eric, that's a good answer. Thank you. No further questions.
Great, thank you. I don't have any other questions. I mean, this did go through legal. And this is just me being Verna, the nitpick, which, because I look at contracts like all my life. This one looks really weird because there's like all these, it'll be like the end and then there's a whole blank space and then there's something. I mean, generally what I would, and maybe just pass this along, is when you have a giant gap and then you can't see it anyway, you have a giant, like there's like a little tiny paragraph and a giant gap and then something starts there. Normally you would have kind of a line and a line through it, because that way, to me, nobody would ever do this, but somebody could go in there and put extra things in. So just, that's just the, Verna's been working in the legal field for 40 years, kind of a thing. I would, you know, just maybe pass that along to whoever prepared this, that it just needs some tightening up. As far
yeah,
as,
do you want us to clean that up for the consent agenda?
I think I would prefer that if my fellow committee members are okay with that. It just leaves a gap, and to me, unless you've got something lined through it with both parties initialing it, it just down the road one might think, you know, ooh, I can just write something in there. This is a
Absolutely.
Big old gap. So anyway, yep. So other than that, I'm fine. I think the committee is fine with forwarding this to the February 1st consent agenda, right?
Thank you, council members.
Great. All right, I think that's it. Is there anything under miscellaneous that we need to talk about tonight, Tom, Sean? All right. Great. Thank you, guys. Thank you for our first Transportation and Infrastructure Committee meeting. Oh, here comes David. Yes, David.
Nope, just saying goodbye.
Oh. I just popped this thing out of the side of my eye. All right, you guys, we'll see you in about a half an hour or so.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.